everyone. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, formerly known as Quest Community Vibration. It is a beautiful, another day in paradise, and it's a wonderful day to be alive. I say these words to incite you to be inspired and motivated to think positive during these dire strait times that we all live in. And there's always, always, always a bright moment. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to begin with our introduction. Lyrics like poetry has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meaning that we can't always understand, but we can try to comprehend their definition. Now, it's time, without any further ado, for our student host, Walter Pierce.
Good morning, good evening, everybody. Walt. Yeah, good evening,
it's
everybody.
It's morning someplace in the world.
It is. That is true. On the other side of the world, other side of the earth, it is morning. But right now, for the people listening, welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. And for today, I would like to start off with my diamonds and see history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Now, today's theme of my diamonds is primarily focused on education and the spread of education. So, of course, I had to pick somebody who was all about education and teaching and building others up, especially of the African-American community. So, for the first diamond today, her name is Mary McLeod Bethune. Mary McLeod Bethune was a determined woman. She helped make education available to thousands of Black Americans. When Mary was a child, many people thought that education was a waste of time for Black children. But Mary wanted to go to school, and her parents supported her. She graduated from Moody Bible Institute in 1895 and afterward taught school in Georgia. In 1904, she moved to Daytona, Florida to establish a school for girls. Mary had only $1.50 in her pocket when she arrived to Daytona, but that did not stop her. She sold sweet potato pies to raise money for her school. Then she asked for donations from churches, clubs, and anyone who would help. Her school became Bethune-Cookman University. It is an example of what a determined person can accomplish. Mary used that same determination to fight for other equal rights for her people. She founded the National Council of Negro Women in 1935. She was also an advisor to four presidents of the United States. Her legacy lives on. And that was one of the short excerpts I had on Mary McLeod Bethune, but I want to go back into her life with building up the school of which is now Bethune-Cookman in Daytona, Florida. You know, she that was one of her goals ever since childhood. She always wanted to be able to teach and allow other Black children to have a great education system and learn a lot. So, you know, starting off the school, she only had 5 students. But her determination to wanting to build this up led her to getting 250 students over the next years. And, you know, in today's standards, 250 students probably doesn't seem like a lot. But back in that era, especially, that is a lot of students to be able to help so those kids could spread it to other people in their family members and their relatives. So especially for that time period, that was a lot of kids, especially only starting to golf with five and building that up. That was great determination, you know. She served as the school's president as well, and she remained the leader even after it was combined with the men in 1923. And that's where the name Bethune-Cookman College came into. And the college at the time was one of the few African-American colleges that you could pursue a college degree. And, yeah, that's some history on the school. And also, you know, her activism. You could go into, she served as the president of the Florida chapter for the National Association of Colored Women for many years. And she became the organization's national leader. You know, she even beat out Ida B. Wells for the position at the time, for that national leader of the organization, which is great to think about. But one of the most surprising things I found on Mary McLeod Bethune was she was an advisor for multiple presidents, including Calvin Coolidge, Herbert Hoover, Franklin D. Roosevelt. And, you know, that was just something that surprised me, because those three presidents, no matter how controversial they are, still brought in somebody like Mary Lloyd Bethune and brought her in as an advisor for their party, you know, for their committee. I believe for Calvin Coolidge, she participated in the conference on child welfare. For Herbert Hoover, she served on the Commission of Home Building and Home Ownership and was appointed to a committee on child health. And also Franklin D. Roosevelt. Franklin D. Roosevelt felt that she was a very special advisor. And I think that was one of her best roles and probably most her best time as an advisor when she was working with him. You know, and she even started up one of her own civil rights organizations, the National Council of Negro Women. So, you know, all of these accomplishments and things that she has accomplished in her lifetime just speaks volumes to the dedication that she had for informing others about issues and educating them so they can make a career out of themselves. And, you know, that was just the reason why I did her, because I'm going to say the same thing for the next person. Education and being informed, especially during this time period right now, is very important. And you need to be educated to know what is going on around you and to be informed on the possible threats or outcomes of course, what's going on right now, which is the election. And, yeah, that's what I have for Mary McLeod Bethune. Thank you.
Okay, so now I get to ask questions. How, in your perspective, was she progressive?
She was progressive because, again, first off, starting with the schooling, you know, be able to give kids opportunities where they were told this was a waste of time and they were never going to get this opportunity. Being able to build up, at first, young black women to pursue a career for whatever they wanted to and give them confidence that you don't have to listen to what the other people are saying. You could pursue the field you want to. You know, starting off with five kids, progressing to 250, and then eventually integrating with men so that even more black children and black kids could get opportunities to learn, which it turned into a college, you know, Bethune-Cookman College, you know, which allowed for lots of black students to pursue a degree. And also with the NACW, National Association for Colored Women, that was one of the most prominent civil rights groups for women there is. You know, they've did a lot of movements. They participated heavily in the Voting Rights Act, and that was an organization that primarily focused on the progression of black women during that time, you know, and her also being an advisor for that, and also an advisor for multiple presidents, giving another opinion in Congress, you know, which was very important for blacks during that time period.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that takes me into my next question / statement, starting out as a statement that I want you to just address to the best of your ability. She addressed disparities as it concerned social justice for the advancement of our people, African Americans in America. Why do you think, take your telescope out and look back into the past, and what do you see? What made her so dynamic to be able to touch base with presidents, to be able to highlight the disparity of social justice for the advancement of our own people? How do you think that came about? If that is that clear?
Yeah,
the question.
So, of course, you got to have courage, and that's the biggest thing that she had, you know, because her being told all these things that this can't happen for black people, this is just a waste of time, and still having the courage to do these things, you know, that's what basically motivated her to progress and get all these different types of opportunities to work with these people at higher positions. You know, you can't do this job if you don't want to, if you don't have the courage, because it is a very difficult task. And it's only people who really dedicate themselves and really want to do this. It's not something you just could do. You have to actually want to do it. And she was definitely a person with all the experience she had, with all the programs and leadership roles she had. This role of working with these different presidents was pretty simple for her, because she already had experience and already had knowledge of how progression was supposed to look, and how she and her people and our people wanted it to look.
Okay. I can't wait for you to share with us your next diamond. Please continue.
Yes, and to continue, like I said, on education, we're going to the more medical part of education, medicine. And the name of this woman is Rebecca J. Cole. In the mid-18th century, women, black and white, who were forced to live under the domination of males, started to assert themselves. Many wanted to receive training in professions that were formerly only practiced by men. Medicine was one such profession, and in 1949, Elizabeth Blackwell became the first white woman doctor to receive her medical degree. But 15 years later, Rebecca Lee, an African-American woman, graduated from New England Medical College. She was closely followed by Rebecca Cole, also an African-American woman, who graduated from Women's Medical College of Pennsylvania in 1867. There is so much speculation as to which doctor, Rebecca Lee or Rebecca Cole, was the first black woman physician to practice in the United States. Both were equally accomplished, but Rebecca Cole achieved some promise from her work with Elizabeth Blackwell. After graduating, Rebecca Cole joined Elizabeth at the New York Infirmary for Women and Children. In addition to running the infirmary, Elizabeth and her sister Emily has started the Blackwell's Tenement House Service in 1866, which was the first medical social service program to be started in the United States. Rebecca Cole was one of the first service sanitary visitors. She made house calls to people living in slum neighborhoods and taught women the basics of good hygiene and childcare. As a result of her experience with the Blackwells, when Rebecca returned to Philadelphia, she continued her career in social medicine. She helped start Women's the Woman's Directory, which provided medical and legal assistance to women. She practiced medicine in Philadelphia until 1881. Later, she became the superintendent of the House for Destitute Colored Women and Children in Washington, D.C. Rebecca was outspoken about the state of black health care. When W.E.B. Du Bois publicly stated that he felt blacks died of consumption in such high numbers because of their ignorance of hygiene, Rebecca disagreed, blaming slum landlords instead of the high mortality rates in poor areas. Rebecca Cole practiced medicine for 50 years. Thank you. And that concludes that piece on Rebecca J. Cole. And, you know, just to summarize, her being the first African-American woman, even though it's uncertain either her, Rebecca Cole, or Rebecca Lee, between those two who practiced it first. But as you can see, Rebecca Cole has achieved much more, you know. Working with the first woman, technically, which is Elizabeth Blackwell, who was a white woman, working with her infirmary, I believe back in New York, she was able to gain a lot of experience, and that really pushed her career and pushed her idea to go into social medicine. And, you know, this is where she started developing these ideologies and beliefs, which made a lot of sense during this time period, blaming most of the fatality rates of blacks, you know, due to the landlords, the slum landlords, the bad conditions they lived in, the bad housing which blacks lived in. She actually blamed that on the landlords, and that could be true because you live in these houses. Most of the time you sleep in here, you eat, you do a lot of your tasks mainly in your house, you know. So if it's not in good condition, you're not going to be in good condition. So that's what she was basically explaining and arguing with W.E.B. Du Bois, you know, who believed that it was an ignorance in hygiene. You know, I guess these two women could relate, Mary McLeod Bethune and Rebecca J. Cole, because they're both people of progression and both people of fighting and wanting the best for their people, either dealing with the learning aspect or the health aspect. These are both lifestyles that people need to live if you want to survive and you want to have a good and long life, you know. And these women were people who were courageous, of course, because they were people who continued their progression and not only stopped or stayed at one place, but they went multiple places and did multiple things, which contributed to multiple things. And, you know, I just really liked comparing these two, and I really enjoyed how they both were people who you don't really hear about. You probably hear about Mary McLeod Bethune more, but somebody like Rebecca J. Cole being prominent in the medicine field, which you know, I'm talking to you right now about her, all of her accomplishments that go unnoticed, is something that needs to go noticed, because without some of these researches and viewpoints, it helps give an idea of why some of these health issues are occurring in our communities. And that's really what I got from reading about these two, the progression that they
okay.
Want. Thank you.
All right. So as I move in here, I want to, first of all, I want to thank you for enlightening me about Rebecca J. Cole, who I've never heard of. Thank you. And now I want you to speak to healthcare disparities. We've spoken about this before. If you need me to elaborate, just say so. In the medical field, there are healthcare disparities. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to say something, but like we were talking about this when we did a segment, I believe, a couple weeks back. We were talking about health care, and we're talking about, I believe it was pancreatitis cancer.
Right.
And why?
Yes, prostate cancer.
Why? And why these? They were more likely to get this disease than other races, and the reason was the disparities in healthcare, the economic situations, all of that played a factor into why they were able to contract it more. And also, of course, the knowledge of it, the education, what we're talking about today, them not knowing about, a lot of them knowing about that you have to get these yearly screenings, which shows if you have the disease or if you're getting, I guess, side effects, which build up and lead to it. And, yeah, that's what we were talking about, touching on last week. But you could go on to what you were saying.
Okay, so focus your mind's eye on the past. During a time period in history where white doctors did not ordinarily go into black neighborhoods or communities. And then from their perspective, analyzing and diagnosing healthcare conditions for black people who they really didn't even want to deal with. And so now I try to paint a picture for you to see now in this present time about what was going on in the past. And so when we see Du Bois hammering out his opinion about black people being ignorant to health care, and in fact, it wasn't an area of his expertise, which is another topic that we have discussed. And so sometimes when people dwell into areas that is not their expertise, and they lend their viewpoint and opinion, they can be found to be wrong when they're not the ones who are going into the community. And so Rebecca J. Cole was one of the people who actually did that, because there were no white doctors going into black communities. There were no white doctors that were going to talk about the social injustices for a progressive healing of the healthcare system for African Americans in this country. And so my statement, which is not a question, is yes, she was progressive. She did her part in the advancement to highlight the disparity in the healthcare system during a time period in our country, in our country's history, where a lot of black doctors just didn't do. And so I ask you, what do you think about what I just said?
You know, that's what something we've been preaching on constantly on the show, people getting involved in things that they don't have the proper knowledge on, and they're not expertise in that certain field. I believe Mr. Harris been touching on this as well. Mr. Sheldon Harris, if the audience doesn't know, he's with the show on Saturdays. He talks about in some of his works that there's people out there who want to try like they do understand, or want to act like they understand what they're talking about. But they honestly really don't, and that's what really affects people, and that can affect a lot of changes in things like that. Because if you don't have experts in that field that we're supposed to be listening to, and you have this other source that's not an expert, you know, that can mess with right and wrong and what to actually do in those situations, you know. So somebody like Rebecca J. Cole disagreeing with somebody like W.E.B. Du Bois, who's not an expert in medicine, but she is, and she touched on why these things are happening. You should be more attentive and more wanting to listen to somebody like her because she's studied this for many years, and she understands these things because she's done research on it. So, again, if you want to gain knowledge and you want to gain a bigger understanding on a certain topic, on whatever it is, and whatever it is that you do, make sure that you go to the experts and the people who've done it and actually experience what you are wanting to know, because that's how you're going to get the best answer possible.
Well, I need you to talk about the courage that Rebecca J. Cole had to confront that gentleman. You know, did she have courage like Mary?
Yeah, they had. I believe they both had a lot of courage. I guess you were referring to that situation where she confronted, I guess, W.E.B. Du Bois in that situation.
Right. Right.
Disagreeing with him.
Yeah. Look at the time
period.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, the level of his importance in society. You know, when he spoke, people listened. And
mm-hmm.
here's this black woman confronting him. Speak to that.
Yep.
Well, not quickly, but speak to that.
Yeah, that's
you know,
what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, that situation where women were seen as less of men and still having the courage to speak up and tell him what's actually right about it. You know, I know he heard this and he probably had to take a step back and actually listen to it and had to respect where she was coming from because of her studies and what she has done in her lifetime. So that's something that I know he had to actually listen and understand too. And right, W.E.B. Du Bois, somebody like him, one of the leaders of the NAACP and the civil rights movement, a lot of people listen to him. A lot more people listen to him than Rebecca J. Cole. So her still having the courage to speak up on that situation is something that is very prominent and than what people actually realize, especially due to the time period.
Okay. Let's take a moment and have our people on the line chime in. We have on the line 6778. Do you have a question, comment to tonight's broadcast?
As always, great show. I love the part about Mary McLeod Bethune. I think that was very informative for us. And great job, guys, as always.
Thank you very much for tuning in and joining us on the line. Now we have another caller on the line, and that will be 7035. Good evening. Do you have a
Good
question
evening.
Or a comment?
Nope, I do have a comment. Great show, and I'm so glad the Get Out the Vote campaign is over. Now we have to get out and let them get out the information to let them finish counting the vote so everybody's voice can be heard.
Okay. That's our number one fan, ladies and gentlemen, Val. We thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our program. And I would like to say, Walter, please close the show out.
Yes, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Make sure you tune to our radio show. You know, I believe we moved to 10 o'clock, right, on Saturdays now.
Yes, sir.
So, yep, moved to 10 o'clock. So now you got even more time to get up and get ready to listen to an action-packed and full of segment show with more people, including Miss Tanisha Gardner, Mr. Sheldon Harris, or any other special guests that we might have. So, again, thanks everybody for tuning in. And Quest Youth Radio is the best.
The best youth radio.
Radio.
Okay. Now, just to put a bookend on it, this has been a Quest moment where we attempted to make waves, and I believe we did. Thank you so much for joining us again for a different perspective of our diaspora. Quest Youth Radio. Peace.